Chapter 12. 24/7 Partners. What if it's all in the family? A West Coast couple found a great way to test their compatibility. The guy had hit on the idea of buying up surplus wine stocks from vineyards, bottling it, and selling it. So he proposed to his girlfriend. Not marriage, but a joint business venture. She accepted. Things started well, but hit the skids when the economy turned after September 11th. They threw everything they had into keeping the business afloat, and even took on extra work outside the company to make ends meet. Their efforts finally paid off, with the company achieving multi-million dollar sales that doubled over successive years. In the process, they learned a lot about each other, individual strengths and weaknesses, mutual respect and trust, how to resolve differences of opinion, and how to support each other through tough times. So much so that the guy proposed again. This time it was marriage. And once again, she accepted. But sometimes dual affairs, sharing business and family life, are not so good. A Japanese couple, a brother and sister newly settled in Maine, realized their dream when they opened a flower shop together. Actually, the sister was the brains behind the business, but the brother wanted to do the Frank Sinatra and run things his way. It was a prelude to a funeral wreath. Their cultural background called for her to consistently defer to him in the decision-making process, even when she knew he was wrong. Taking advantage of that tradition, or maybe because he suspected she was right, he began demeaning her in front of customers. One day, she answered back in defense. He punched her. She bit him. There was blood. And that was the end of their relationship and the flower shop. Happily, not many family businesses end like that, which is just as well since they account for half of the U.S. gross domestic product and an even greater proportion of the nation's workforce. And that excludes the many big corporations that started out as family affairs. But living and working together 24/7 creates its own set of partnership pressures. It seems that the closer the domestic relationship, I'm talking particularly about life partners, siblings, and offspring, the tougher it is to make things work in business. Yet we know it's an attractive idea, because more than 3 million of the 22 million small businesses in the U.S. are couple-owned. Changing lifestyles, longer life expectancy, and increasing economic pressures will push that number even higher over the coming years. It's easy to see why. Consider the benefits. Shared goals for your company and your family. Intimate awareness of each other's strengths and weaknesses. Ability to stand in for each other if there's a domestic crisis. Mutual support in tough times, a forthrightness in presenting ideas or dealing with problems. Of course, there are drawbacks too, and not just of the Japanese flower shop type where couples come to blows. For a start, you're both or all in it together. If the company fails, the devastation affects the entire family, not just one business owner. Then, there's the danger of assuming your partner can read your thoughts simply because he knows you so well. This can lead to major lapses in communication. Above all, let's not forget the wisdom behind the expression, "Familiarity breeds contempt." As human beings, we tend to take for granted those closest to us. Is it any wonder that the words familiarity and family come from the same language roots? When your business partner is your life partner, you have fewer outlets or escapes. It's not like having a fight with your spouse at home and cooling your heels at work the next day, or complaining to your coworkers. An evening fight can easily translate into acrimony in the workplace the following morning. Similarly, a dispute at work can generate problems in the bedroom. Even in a successful business, it's tough to carve out and enforce downtime, and the best relationships can squeal under the strain. Learning to accommodate and respect each other's differences is a vital component of 24/7 partnerships. It's tempting to think, we're so close, why bother with an entrepreneur's prenup? I'm often asked whether partners really need a prenup when they already know each other so well. My answer, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. No question, it's counterintuitive to demand extra vigilance when dealing with a closer relationship. But I'd argue it's even more important for those 24/7 partnerships because you have a special asset at stake that demands your protection. Your personal relationship. You also have to factor in the effect on your family finances and estate planning should one partner or the other leave the company. You'll want to work out fair procedures in advance because in some ways the stakes are higher, and the tax issues and personal ramifications of a business breakup that much more complicated. Just because you get on like a house on fire at home doesn't mean you'll do the same in business. To quote family business counselor Ruth Hayden, when a family partnership works, you can't find a better working relationship. When it doesn't, it can take down the business, the personal relationship, and the whole family. It's not all about gloom and doom breakups, though. A good partnership agreement also provides clarity regarding who does what. It sets the sights and the signposts for business success and covers a whole stack of other what-ifs beyond what if it doesn't work out. In fact, the clarity and consensus that comes from an agreement significantly increases the chances it will work. Plus, in the case of immediate family, it provides the opportunity to discuss and agree on the boundaries between domestic life and business life. The downtime issues I mentioned above. Okay, you may ask, but I can't start checking up on my spouse, my son, my sister to establish their credentials. And I say, why not? There are very practical business reasons why you'd want to know this information from the get-go. Say, you're thinking of taking out a loan to expand your business. Given how tight getting credit has been for small business owners, you can bet good money that a bank is going to be right in your underwear, looking for any reason to decline the loan. They're going to ask for credit scores, tax returns, and asset lists. To strengthen your chances of getting the money you need, you will want to have this information well before you go to the bank. With it, business owners can take steps in advance to repair any bad credit history. Without it, you can't do the proper financial planning your company needs. Think of it this way. Wouldn't you want to know that your little brother was convicted of shoplifting when he was away at college before you put him in charge of your inventory department? You should handle a potential family partner in much the same way you'd work with any other person with whom you want to create a business partnership. But most people don't. And when they don't, it leaves them with glaring gaps in their business relationships that, at best, slow them down, and at worst, well, to go back to Ruth Hayden, can take down the business, personal relationship, and the family. You need a credit check. You need references. You can ease the discomfort by subjecting yourself to the same rigors and sharing the information. If it helps, bring in a third party to do it for each of you. As with non-family partners, you need to explore attitudes toward business goals, issues of integrity, areas of expertise, work ethic, and crucially, where the buck stops when you need key decisions made, but can't see eye to eye. Why not agree to some trial tasks that will test performance skills? Just as you dated before you married, so you should date as business owners before making the partnership commitment. You'll also want to look for essential ingredients from your domestic relationship that will be transferable to the company. This includes openness and honesty about financial matters, a commitment to two-way communication, especially the ability to listen to the other's point of view. It also includes a mutual desire for success, a willingness to go the extra mile to achieve it, and a sense of fun. Go with your gut here. Compatibility is essential. If for any reason you don't feel it's a fit, do not enter into a partnership with this person. It's far better to endure the discomfort of some hurt feelings, which they'll go away over time, than to have to endure the long-term anger and resentment that's going to fester from a poor partnership choice. I think you can probably handle the rejection the same way, or maybe a little more gently, that you might decline a date or a romantic overture. Whether you or your family member is the instigator of the proposal, you can say it was worth exploring, but you don't feel it would be a good fit. Or, in retrospect, it's not the direction you want to go in. But if it does feel right, then start the ball rolling on your prenup as outlined in this book. That means setting aside the time to do it properly, getting the preliminary sorted, and then bringing in an attorney to advise you and draw up the crucial documents. You may want to set some guidelines for home and work relationships. A key ingredient of family partnership success is agreeing on which elements of home life you can bring to work and how much of your business life can resurface at home. For instance, is it okay to talk about employee performance over the kitchen stove? And should you discuss in the office your thoughts on a new outdoor deck? You might readily say no to both these examples. That's the kitchen stove and the outdoor deck. But inevitably, urgent issues will arise that can't wait for the right environment. A family emergency that calls for immediate action might prompt discussion at work on what should be done and who will deal with it. A business-critical decision on whether to fire a dishonest clerk first thing tomorrow might need to be thrashed out over the dinner table, if not the stove. Even then, you may want to set a limit on the amount of time allowed before you switch back, or whether there are other things, like helping the kids with their homework, that take priority. The guidelines are up to you, but you need to keep them. Consider drawing up a code of conduct, a set of ground rules that covers these situations, and others you may encounter, such as how you address each other in front of clients, how you agree to time off, how you can spend time apart even when you're together. For example, each having your own space and privacy at home and at work, and how you'll handle disputes. This approach works well for a couple who have been running a food services company in Pennsylvania for nearly 20 years. Their rules? No business talk at the dinner table or at all during weekends. More informally, they encourage balance in each other's activities, by one suggesting when it's time for the other to quit the computer, get out of the office, or just kick back. When they adopted twin boys a few years back, they sat down and talked through the best way of revising their respective responsibilities, with mom agreeing to cut back her business time by 20 hours a week. Even though this also reduced sales, which was mom's key role in the business, both partners were pleased with the outcome and said it had strengthened their personal relationship. Because your business and personal partnerships will be so closely intertwined, I'd recommend you work with a partnership consultant on a regular basis. A third party can bring an objective eye and ear to the situation, both in helping you work out ground rules and by checking in periodically to make sure everyone is playing fair. A partnership consultant can fill several important functions. They can help impartially mediate disagreements and work with you to find common ground. They can smooth the communication on issues that may be just a little too awkward for partners to raise with each other directly. They can provide an outside perspective on your business growth. By setting objective standards that you would want non-family partners to abide by, you ensure fairness and accountability for your company. Another thorny issue is who's the boss, which takes on a special dimension with family partnerships. As I've discussed elsewhere in the book, your company needs a hierarchy of accountability. The buck has to stop somewhere, even if in every other sense the partnership is equal. You might explore this by thinking about who started the business or came up with the idea, or whether one of you has a greater level of expertise in that specific business area. Family dynamics play a huge role in the success or failure of a company. Can a father accept his daughter in the role of president? Would a husband defer to his wife? Or a mother to her son? The earlier you agree on the chain of command, the better. Otherwise, you risk discord on multiple levels for changing expectations midstream. Again, using a consultant can help you through this sensitive area. Finally, as ugly as it is to contemplate with close family members, your partnership agreement must provide for an exit. This might be for reasons outside of the domestic relationship, in which case the personal bond must be protected. For example, the business may not generate enough for the both of you to live comfortably. Or maybe your son's wife got transferred cross-country for her job and he needs to leave the company for that reason. Or, after 25 years of slogging it out with the business, you want to retire and pursue your dream of teaching dance therapy to underprivileged children. Particularly if you're in business with your spouse, you need protection in the event of a domestic split. It's perfectly possible for a business partnership to survive a breakdown in personal relations, depending on the nature of the split. I even know of a couple who divorced and then started a new business together. But usually, distressed personal relationships are sufficiently damaged that they bring down the business partnerships too. It's absolutely essential that you can call on your prenup to provide an equitable solution. To summarize, an entrepreneur's prenup is probably even more essential when family members become business partners. You should follow the same course as in any other potential partnership in checking and evaluating the individuals involved. Key issues for family partnerships include managing relationships between home and work and agreeing where the buck stops. A consultant can help steer through difficulties by providing an impartial, objective perspective. Your action steps? Think about these issues. How would you handle a situation where your family member / business partner has made a serious error in your joint business? Are there members of your family you absolutely would not, under any circumstances, go into business with? If so, why? Would you be comfortable with your family member business partner being the boss, at least in terms of having the last word?